News. I'm Gene Randall. Iran's Revolutionary Guard is talking tough, saying it has no fear of a war with the United States. We get a report from AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma.
The Guard says it doesn't fear a possible war with the U.S. and claims that America hasn't grown in power in recent years. The latest tough talk from Tehran amid escalating regional tensions and a crisis with Washington. Speaking at a press conference in Tehran, a spokesman explained the Guard doesn't support engaging in any war, while at the same time it doesn't fear the occurrence of a war. He said units have enough readiness to defend the country, adding that Iran has boosted its military power over the past 30 years. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
U.S. President Donald Trump is en route back to Washington from the Far East. He wound up his four-day state visit to Japan after observing Memorial Day aboard a U.S. Navy ship in Tokyo Bay. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
We had a tremendous couple of days.
President Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe spent several days sharing Japanese culture and holding discussions on key topics like trade and the threat from North Korea. They reached agreement on neither topic, but aboard the JS Kaga warship. The president says he was honored to be selected to be the first world leader to meet the new emperor, Naruhito.
We celebrate the U.S.-Japan alliance and the friendship between our freedom-loving peoples.
Before meeting with U.S. troops on an American amphibious assault ship, President Trump also delivered condolences for a deadly stabbing attack near Tokyo.
On behalf of the First Lady and myself, I want to take a moment to send our prayers and sympathy to the victims of the stabbing attack this morning in Tokyo. All Americans stand with the people of Japan and grieve for the victims and for their families.
The fatal victims were a 12-year-old schoolgirl and a 39-year-old man. This is VOA News. Indonesian police say four top government officials were targets of an assassination plot that may have been linked to last week's deadly post-presidential election riots in Jakarta. At least eight people were killed, hundreds more were injured during two nights of clashes between security forces and supporters of the losing presidential candidate, Prabowo Subianto, who has refused to concede. Mount Everest has claimed another life, the 11th in the past week and a half. An American climber, 61-year-old Christopher Kulish, a lawyer from Colorado, died Monday while returning from the summit. The cause of his death is unclear. Meanwhile, there are crowds attempting the climb, though Everest guide Eric Murphy says that is not why people are dying.
I don't really believe the problem is long lines for the crowds for the individuals who are dying. It's poor leadership, inexperience, and exhaustion.
Oklahoma is poised to become the first U.S. state to go to trial in a lawsuit against the makers of pharmaceuticals blamed for contributing to the nation's opioid crisis. AP correspondent Jelly Adler has a report.
Oklahoma alleges that the drug makers helped create a public health crisis in the state by marketing highly addictive opioids for years in a way that overstated their effectiveness and underplayed the risk of addiction. The trial could bring to light documents and testimony that show what the companies knew, when they knew it, and how they responded. The outcome could also shape negotiations on how to resolve the roughly 1,500 opioid lawsuits filed by state and local governments that have been consolidated before a federal judge in Ohio. I'm Shelley Adler.
Israel has moved closer to new parliamentary elections, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu unable so far to form a new government. The Knesset approved a preliminary motion to dissolve itself. If approved, there will be a new round of voting, probably in September. After last month's elections, Netanyahu's ruling Likud party emerged as the largest bloc in the 120-member parliament, and with minor party allies appeared to be in control with a solid 65-55 majority. But a political crisis has been forced by former Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman, who is withholding the support of the five seats his party controls. Lieberman is demanding that young ultra-Orthodox men be drafted into the Israeli military, while Netanyahu's religious allies have called for the draft exemptions to remain in place. Netanyahu has only until Wednesday to reach a coalition deal or risks having someone else given a chance to form a government. More news at voanews.com. Gene Randall, VOA News.